And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And so we see here that Noah now has been obedient to build the ark, the plan and purpose of it having been made clear to him. And now he receives this gracious invitation from the Lord to bring himself and his family into the ark, which he does. And so, once again, the ark built by Noah according to divine direction is one of the clearest and most comprehensive types of the believer's salvation in all the scripture. And before we had talked about how that it was a divine provision, man having nothing to do with it other than carrying out what God had told him to do by faith Noah. We talked about the fact that it was revealed. Noah wasn't aware of God's plan, and man cannot know God except he reveal himself, which is why the scriptures are so important. It's the sole revelation of God to man. Then we talked about the fact that it was a sacrificial provision, and that's where we want to take it up once again this morning. And let's go to Genesis chapter 6 then, and verse number 14. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And then following, of course, is the direction concerning the building of the ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch. We've already talked about that. It's the same Hebrew word that's used for the mercy seat. And so we find out here that there's a scriptural truth if we look, and that is that following the fall in the Garden of Eden, that life comes out of death. And so we see that these trees had to be cut down to make Noah's shelter, a living thing. And no, we're not putting forth tree hugging here, but in shadow and type, you can see that those trees had to be harvested to make this enclosure, this ark, to save Noah's life. And by the same token, in John chapter 12, and let's go ahead and look there, shall we? John chapter 12, we see the antitype. John chapter 12 and verse number 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So once again, we see life coming out of death, and an agricultural example is used here, somewhat akin to what we saw in the construction of Noah's Ark. Let's look at it just a little bit closer. Verse 23, And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the children of Israel had taken by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and with wicked hands had crucified the Lord Jesus, and yet, from God's point of view, the death, burial, and resurrection of his only begotten Son is his glorification. And then in verse number 22, the Lord says, Pay careful attention to this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so the Lord Jesus Christ did die for us, but while he was living. And this is, of course, the message to the disciples. And it comes, interestingly enough, after some Greeks show up, because they'd heard of the Lord Jesus and his fame, and they started asking the disciples concerning the Lord Jesus, that he brings this forth. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified, and a corn of wheat, except it fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And this is something now that has been a consistent part of his teaching. If you look at the chronology of Matthew, we find out early on in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, where the Lord Jesus begins to teach his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and there to be killed by the chief priests and then rise again the third day. And as you go on through the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus consistently develops this. It isn't that he just mentioned it one time, but he consistently develops that theme. He must go to Jerusalem. He must be taken by these wicked hands and slain, put to death. He even tells the disciples how he's to be put to death. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And yet they didn't really get it. Now some Greeks have come and started asking questions. And the Lord comes back to that very thing once again. Life comes out of death. Mankind died in the Garden of Eden, and out of that death, there's the possibility of life to come forth. And Jesus shows that this is a principle that's embodied in the very creation itself. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It's only one grain of wheat. But if it fall into the ground and be buried and die, it brings forth much fruit. So the idea there is that the Lord Jesus must be crucified, be buried, so that he can rise again from the dead and provide an entire dead human race access to God through him. Right there in Noah's Ark. And then in Isaiah 53, once again, the eternal Son of God becomes the Son of Man. And that's his favorite name for himself. It's used consistently in the Synoptic Gospels. He calls himself the Son of Man. Not just the Son of Man, but also the Son of God, but the Son of Man, certainly. Well, the entire human race was dead and separated from God, and now we have a man, the last Adam, who comes in that through his death, a dead human race can be given life in what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes in his death and burial and resurrection. And then, let's turn to Galatians chapter 2, and see what that leads to. Galatians in chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Let's direct our attention to verse number 20. This is Paul's testimony to the Galatians. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see something here that grabs your attention immediately? Let's read it again. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Is there something that jumps out and grabs you here?
Usually when you're crucified, you die.
Yes, ordinarily, that's true.
And it says, nevertheless, I live.
Yes. Does it look to you like there's two eyes in verse number 20?
Because there are.
Because there are. That's exactly right. Because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that life comes out of death. And by the way, this is a tremendous verse for every Christian to memorize because it brings forth the truth that Paul brings out in Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. Here it is, all wrapped up together and given it in one verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Great warning against walking in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit that will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's one of the I's in verse number 20. And so Noah's Ark then was a sacrificial provision for us that life might be brought out of death. And I think we'll stop here for this morning because we have the Lord's table before us. So let's ask that we all bow our heads now and prepare ourselves for the Lord's table, remembering that the Lord's table is the most solemn time in the life of a church. The Lord, knowing that we are a forgetful people, told us that we are from time to time to celebrate this remembrance of his death, burial, and resurrection. And so we should stay our minds on this and absolutely nothing else. And so as we prepare now, we'll ask the men to come and get ready to serve the table. trust we've had time now to stay our minds upon that which we're about to do. And I'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, as our custom is. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother Casey, would you return thanks to the Lord for the body that was broken for us?
Father, thank you for the opportunity now to remember the work that Christ did for us on our behalf. Thank you for providing the body for him to dwell in like manner as we are, yet without sin. Thank you for the opportunity to remember this, that which was broken for us. In Jesus' name.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Shall we together remember the broken body of our Lord? After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Brother Rod, would you return thanks to the Lord for the blood that he shed for us?
Father, we do thank you for this time of solemn fellowship when we can remember the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, recently we studied about the Passover feast and how a perfect lamb was to be slaughtered and his blood was to be taken with hyssop and put over the mantle of a door. Lord, and for a day this saved the nation of Israel when the death angel passed over. And yet, it was a crude picture of what your Son did for each and every one of us, and for anyone that would be willing to believe. Lord, we say thank you, but it seems like maybe it's not enough. But we are so grateful, Lord, that we would truly understand, Lord, that we would share this with others, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' ever precious name.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he'd supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Shall we together remember the shed blood of our Lord? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And praise the Lord, he is coming. We have a time of testimony connected with the Lord's table, and so if someone would like to offer a testimony,